to Project Vox Populi, where the people speak their truth.
Tonight on Veritas Vox Populi, prepare for an eye-opening episode with Debbie Thornton, a seasoned geologist who steps beyond the confines of her field to delve into the revolutionary realm where biotechnology meets personal autonomy. Broadcasting directly from Australia, Debbie reveals her startling findings on the presence of Bluetooth signals and unique MAC addresses allegedly emitted by vaccinated individuals, suggesting a hidden layer of technology integration into the human body. Debbie proposes that this phenomenon could represent the first step towards the involuntary incorporation of humans into the Internet of Things, a network traditionally reserved for digital and electronic devices. This integration, she argues, utilizes advanced biotechnological mechanisms, potentially involving materials like graphene oxide, which she suspects could facilitate bioelectronic interfaces. These interfaces might interact with 5G technology, forming a matrix of surveillance and control that blurs the line between biology and technology. The discussion further explores the potential health implications and privacy concerns related to these technologies. Debbie discusses how these advances could not only track, but possibly manipulate physiological functions via remote signals, hinting at a future where personal freedom is deeply compromised. This episode is a deep dive into the controversies and theories that challenge our perceptions of science, technology, and freedom. This conversation is not for the faint of heart. If the thought of confronting these truths makes you uneasy, this may be your exit. Veritas Vox Populi offers an unfiltered platform for discussing the most provocative topics of our times, and tonight's conversation promises to be a riveting session that encourages listeners to question the boundaries of what they've accepted as reality. Prepare to rethink the implications of modern vaccinations and technology on your personal health and privacy. Join us for a journey into the depths of controversial science and its impact on human autonomy. Welcome to Vox Populi, where the people speak their truth. Debbie Thornton is coming up next.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And now, here's your host, Mel Hostelrich.
And this is another Vox Populi directly from Australia. I'd like to welcome geologist Debbie Thornton. Hello, Debbie, and welcome to Veritas Vox Populi. How are you?
Hi, Mel. Thank you. I'm well, and you?
I am well as well. And just to give some background, we have a good friend of this program, Bernard from Australia. And every so often, he sends me some great people. And a few days ago, he mentioned to me, and he's been talking about this for a year, I believe, we were discussing how some people are sending videos of people going to cemeteries, for example, and they have their phones, they look at their Bluetooth, and they see these MAC addresses popping up, not only in grocery stores, because I've had Dr. Joe, another guest of this program, telling me the same thing, but when you go to a cemetery, in the middle of a cemetery, and you start seeing all these MAC addresses, especially adjacent to tombs that have just been people who have recently been buried, it makes you wonder. But Bernard found somebody in Australia, a geologist with lots of credentials, who found out even deeper. And that's why I wanted to bring her here. I asked him, can you convince her to come over to Veritas? And this is why, Debbie, you are on Veritas Vox Populi today. Why don't you just give us a little bit of your background before we begin with the very important story we'll be discussing today?
Okay. Thanks, Mel. I've been working as a geologist on and off, you know, mining industry goes up and down for about since 1996, and I've worked all over the world. I've got I've got a big thirst for knowledge, and I'm quite a good problem solver. So for me, you know, there's not much that we can't solve if we understand the problem. So getting to the root of that has been really important over the last few years. So I guess if I had to wrap it up, that would be the way I would do it.
So this claim, obviously very controversial, and I doubt that this interview won't be airing on YouTube. Folks, you know why. We'll be shut down immediately. I know some people who have gotten shut down by even mentioning what we're about to discuss today. The claim that vaccinated individuals are emitting MAC addresses. You mentioned that, you told me before we began how you started to wake up, and it was not during COVID, it was before that. Can you take us back?
Yeah, I started to wake up when I came back from Africa in about 2015-16. My father was passing away, and I was sort of stuck in the hospitals with him for about 6 months, I guess. And he and it was just the politics, you know. It was just this one-sided political thing going on. So it didn't matter which party, they were both spreading the same sort of rhetoric, and it was a rhetoric. You could hear it. And I think too, you know, because in Africa I really didn't have access to television sets or anything like that, so I had quite a clear mind. So that was the start of it. And then there was a lot of scandals that came out in Parliament House. There was a big women's rally, and there would have been maybe 200,000 people there. And they said there were 10 or so purple-haired lesbians. And this was over sex in the rape scandal with Brittany Higgins, and it was also over there were people having sex in the prayer room. There was a 15-year-old boy taken into Parliament House. And it just the whole – I have found out about the Canberra Swingers Club, where apparently a lot of our politicians like to go and hang out. And it just all – it was just degenerate. And it's – so I had the hairs, I guess the hair on the back of my neck. My instincts and intuition is very good generally, and I listen to it. I've always listened to it. It's how I find minerals in the ground. I walk over it and I know they're there. There was also when I was working in Perth, I was saying, oh, well, you know, you guys, or you geos will actually have to pitch yourself against the AI. Well, the AI lost. And that's because of our intuition. It can't replicate our intuition. And someone said, oh, well, you'll have to merge with it. And so that was an inkling. And I said, like, I'd like to swear here, but you can interject those words. So that was a big wake up as well. It was the entire replacement of things that, just a sec. Can you just pause it for one sec?
I can't. It's 1 sec.
No. Mel?
Yes.
Got a printer running in the background. Sorry. So that was pretty much where I came from with it. And then along comes COVID. And I couldn't – it was weird because it was an overkill. You know, it was too much push. Like, why are they pushing? Why are they trying to scare people so much when we don't really know what's going on? Then the I've just lost my train of thought. Yeah, so I was working, you know, still I was working pretty great little company out at Cobar, and we were about an hour out, and I was sitting there at night. And so in my first instance, in between jobs, I thought, wow, we've got this Chinese girl living with me. She's been instructed by the CCP to go out and get hand sanitizer, face mask, gloves, blah, 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 blah. And they were all being sent to Brisbane and packaged back up on pallets and sold back to us. And so that was a bit of an eye-opener to begin with. Like, what the heck? But I saw the gap because the hand sanitizer was being controlled, the management of it. So there was a distiller in Bathurst, which is, you know, about half an hour from where I am. And I saw him and said, look, why don't we try and make this mix? And Toby was actually, he'd actually already had a go at it. And so then we spread it out, and to transport it, we called the local mine here, which is Newcrest, and said, look, can you guys transport it? And they said, we will if we can have the first lot. So the hands on, and it spread across Australia. For all her faults, Gladys Berejiklian, who's the New South Wales Premier, stopped the price gouging on the hand sanitizer, because there was the supply of ethanol was being exploited, if you like. So that happened. And then I was out at Boppy and I was sitting there with a medical dictionary trying to understand what actually was going on with cells. And I'm not a very good biologist. I only did two six-month courses at uni, so biology is not my strong point. And it was a bit of a struggle, you know, what is an AC2 receptor? And then I sort of could, if I can visualize it, I can understand it. So for me it was like, okay, it's a circle with a keyhole in it and then something plugs in. And so once I got that bit of the information, I could sort of work out a bit more about what they were saying COVID was doing. Then I sort of thought, well, this had to be manufactured. Whatever this is has to be manufactured. So then I started looking at the Wuhan, and 10 kilometres from the Wuhan wet market is the lab. And so I found the lab. It was a whole series of wake-up events. Then they brought the face mask thing in, and in an isolated area where we're already testing, and it was just ridiculous. It was, you know, stupid. Then somehow or another I ended up on the underground network, and I saw what happened in Israel. And Israel shocked me to my core. They held people down. They took the elderly women away from their families if they didn't comply. They took the children if they didn't comply. Those people are the most, it's not the Jewish people that we've got issues with right now. It's the top of the tree.
I keep saying that. Let me interject for a second what you just said, because during that time, I thought about how the government was treating their citizens in Israel, and it was probably one of the most locked down and repressed, you know, countries in the world. And I thought, during that time, I interviewed a lady, Vera Sharaf. She was a survivor of a concentration camp during World War II, and we were discussing what happened to the never again. Jews and other ethnic groups were experimented upon in Germany. And why did they allow themselves, why did they subject themselves to some of that during COVID?
Yeah. I mean, Netanyahu clearly had a plan. You know, he was horrendous. And my feelings for those people, and we're pretty helpless. The only thing you could do really was to talk about it. And I guess now to talk about it, because we need to really look at who we're blaming and who we're, directing our anger towards, if that's what you've got, because it shouldn't be towards the people who were the first cab off the rank. And it's the same with the doctors. You know, there was it when the doctors were subjected to it, and, you know, this dancing thing, I didn't know anyone who was doing any dancing. They were all really worried, and they were first, and the most deaths have occurred within the medical industry. And so, you know, if you're trying to force everyone into telehealth and an AI, and you're trying to hook them up, you're going to target the people who can do something about that first. You know, it's the same as the police and the army. You're going to target the people first who can fight back. And that's exactly what happened. And that was when I realised we really were at war. So I'm out at Mount Boppy, and three people were sick 1 week after the rollout of AstraZeneca. They were all going and getting it. We had three in their rooms, quite ill. And I said, well, you're going to have to do something about this. We need an emergency procedure, because mining and exploration, our biggest thing is safety, right? We run on that. And I was told to get back in my box. And so I tried again, because I could see it coming, because I was watching Israeli people fall and collapse and die. And I said, and I had the Moderna study by then, and that really, it was the only study that they ever actually released. It was the only trial data in those early days that existed. and there was 23,000, just don't quote me quite on the numbers, but 23,800 or so people in that study across five countries, including Kenya. Kenyan results were so bad, they didn't release the data. And out of that 23,800 or so, there was about 5,600 left in the study. 1,400 got permanent illnesses like Bell's palsy and all the rest of it. And that, you would have recognised that, Mel, because that was when we started seeing them come out with that. And all sorts of, as it, but Guillain-Barré syndromes and
Guillain-Barré.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so all of that was happening, and it was all in this Moderna study. And this was really early on before the vaccines came out, before they got rolled out in this country anyway. And, yeah, so I saw them, and 400 people out of that study died. And so they knew. And after that, that was after the first injection, by the way, and there was only that 5,600 left. And out of those, 1,400 got sick and 400 and something died. So that was like, wow, there's no way I'm taking this thing. But I was still thinking, you know, the Australians are producing one, and maybe we can do something about that, because the Aussies are the battery in my old computer is dying. Yeah, so maybe
I hope you have a cable.
Yeah, I do. It's all right.
Okay. Well, while you connect it, let me just say this, because I can't help it, Debbie. You know, in the United States, we have this impression of Australians, you know, that are brothers and sisters from the other side of the pond. And you have this rugged image, frontier spirit, the love for the outdoors, you know, but you have a military tradition. And for those who might not know, Australia has about, what, less than 8% of the U.S. population, and you were known for being great fighters during World War I, World War II, and the most recent wars, the bush skills that you have. But all of a sudden, during COVID, it's almost as if somebody came and took all those, let's call them superpowers, for sake of argument, and you all brought your defenses down and fell into that trap. Not all of you, because there are plenty of you who write to me saying, nope, I'm not part of that hive mind. But Australia and New Zealand, something happened. What happened?
So I think that part of the biggest problem we had is that we trusted our government. You know, at the end of the day, we didn't expect any Aussie to ever do anything like this to another Australian. And so, you know, we had this teamwork thing going, and that's how a lot of the people fell into it. And then, of course, the brainwashing was absolutely intense. There's something you have to remember about Australians, and that is the crocs up in our territory, in the Northern Territory, predate. They wait and then they strike. They make sure. So if you stand on the side of a riverbank up in the territory, you can do that twice. The third time, that croc's going to get you. So, you know, we think and act generally as well. So don't be surprised if you see an awful lot of action coming out of Australia. My take on it is that people were gullible. Now they're waking up, and they really are waking up. There was, at the Anzac Dawn service this morning, there was easily 1,500 people in a town of 42,000, you know, in the dark and the cold, and they were out there. They know. And now they know it's going to be a different kettle of fish.
And most of your population is around the coast. I mean, when people think of Australia, they think that it may be smaller, but it's almost the size of the United States. And you live close to the coast. You're outside in the sun and the, you know, hiking and all that. And this must have been really difficult during COVID times, because where do you get your health? You get your health by being exposed to UV rays with the sun, with pure air, oxygen, salt water. And I remember the footage, seeing somebody swimming, somebody walking on the beach, and seeing your police arresting every single day. I see that today, and I think, why didn't we just call that ridiculous back then?
Well, I think the trouble was there were just isolated cases like that, because if you looked at the northern beaches, there were, and Bondi and places like that, people just ignored them.
thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.